A few weeks ago, I shared about how do we do the works of God? How do we know God's plan for our lives? And if you remember, Jesus answered these questions in John chapter 14, in verse 12, where Jesus sums everything up when he says, "Believe in me." And we saw that this word believe comes from the Greek word pisteo, which was used over 80 times in the Gospel of John. And it is a verb, it is an action word. So when Jesus says, "Believe in me," he is not only talking about the one time when you were this age or when you encountered God and you accepted Jesus into your heart, but he means more than just that. It is a continuous, active part of our lives to believe in Jesus. It is a lifelong pursuit to believe in Jesus more and more as we discover who he is through the Word of God. Because Jesus is not only our Savior, he's our sanctifier, he's our healer, he's the coming King, and the list goes on. And do we believe in him for in all these areas of who he is? Because the more active and the more actively we believe these truths, the more we will do the works of God. We will believe in Jesus. And then we will come to the place that our lives reflect him in all that we do. We will reflect Christ not only here at church, but we will reflect Christ in our homes, in our workplace, wherever we go. Our mask will come off, and we will be who we are in Christ. But as we will see today, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, Jesus will give us some spiritual tools that will help us along our journey with Christ. Tools that will help us grow in our belief in Jesus so that we can do the works of God. If you have your Bibles, we will continue our journey through the Gospel of John. In John 14, beginning in this verse 12. John 14, verse 12. If you have that, please open to it. Or get to the app, as some of you do. John 14, beginning in verse 12, 12 to 14. Let me read this. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will maybe do it." I will do it. So here Jesus brings up the subject of prayer. What's interesting, from this verse on, Jesus brings up the subject of prayer five times during his last night with his disciples. Not once, not twice, not three times, five times. So let me ask you a question here to make a point. Have you ever been at the bedside of someone you loved just before they died? Okay. Do you remember anything that they've said just before they died? It's like something's like imprinted on your mind. Do you forget it? No. It's there. It's infused on your mind, and most likely you'll never forget it. But maybe you're here today and you've never experienced that. You've never been at the bedside of someone you loved who died. They died and you were able to be there. I want you to imagine with me, listen to this, imagine this happening to you. You're at the bedside of someone you deeply love. Maybe it's a friend, wife, daughter, father, or mother. And as you are sitting there, their breathing becomes labored and their voice becomes raspy. They can't talk very well. And suddenly, as you are at their bed, they grip you on the arm. really hard. They grip you and they say, remember. And they tell you something very deeply moving. Maybe it's, I love you. I want you to remember I've always loved you. Or I want you to remember. And they give you something that breaks your heart because it was given to you in love. Would you remember what they said? We'd be stupid not to. But what happens if they gripped your arm and not only did they say, remember this, but they say it not once, not twice, not three times, but five times? What would that say to you? They don't want you to forget what they are saying. And in the same way, Jesus, the night before he's to be crucified, he's talking to his disciples. And he brings up the subject, not once, not twice, but five times. And in a sense, Jesus is on his deathbed. And he's wanting them to remember and to know that this is important. He will soon be dead. So what does he do? He brings up that which is most dear to his heart. He brings up something he doesn't want them to forget. And what does he whisper? He whispers, ask. 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 Are we going to get it? Ask. Five. If Jesus says one thing, we should listen. But man, five times, we're stupid if we don't. Ask. Prayer is essential to the Christian life. And Jesus knew it. And so he tells us to ask. And I want to take a brief moment this morning to look at those five times that Jesus brought up this subject of prayer. And the first one we just read earlier in John 14, verses 13 to 14, was the first time that Jesus brings it up in the last night with his disciples. And let me read that to you again. John 14, verses 13 to 14, where Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. What an incredible promise of Jesus. It is really, when you look at it, it seems kind of unbelievable. Ask me whatever and I will do it. Ask me in my name and I will do it. It tells us here that Jesus wants us to come to him and to ask. If there's a need, either physically or spiritually, Jesus wants us to come to him and ask. Are you asking today? I don't know about you, but sometimes Diane and I go through a hardship, and near the end of it, we're like, oh, we should pray about this. What? Why don't we pray at the beginning? Here, he says, ask. He wants you to ask. And not only that do we see in this passage, but he also wants us to ask in his name. What does it mean to ask in his name? When we ask in Jesus' name, we'll be at prayer. Oh Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. What are we doing? What we are doing is we are reinforcing our request with the power and authority of who Jesus is. That Jesus is our Savior, Healer, Lord, coming King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's holy, and we come before him, and we kind of put, it's almost like in the old days when they would take a letter, and they'd put the wax on it, and they'd take a signet ring of a, say, a high official or of a king, and they'd put that on the letter. Sure, we could send a letter, and that's great. But to put the seal on the letter of someone like the king makes all the difference.
So when we pray in his name, we are praying his authority and power behind our request.
Behind our request.
And not only that, but part of what we, when we say in his name, is we are asking for his will to take place through our request. Because if you're putting his power and authority, wouldn't you also say his will is taking place through this request? If you see in 1 John 5:14, listen to this. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we ask of him. So one of the keys to praying is discovering God's will in the situation and then praying in the name of Jesus. And sometimes that's hard. Well, the Lord, should I get this job? Sometimes it's kind of hard to know what his will is. But here, is it his will for you to overcome an area of sin in your life? No question it is. So we could pray and pray, knowing that he will do it. When? How? That's him. If I have an area where I'm struggling, like one area I struggle is sometimes I grumble at drivers, right? Or I get impatient, a stupid thing. Is that God's will that I continue to murmur and complain like that? Obviously, no, because his word tells us to do everything without murmuring and complaining. So when I go to him, I could go in the confident that he hears me, and I know it's his will for me not to do that, and so I will pray until he moves on my behalf and changes that area. Not praying once or twice, and there's times he does answer him after once or twice, but praying until he answers. So that is the first time that Jesus brings up subject of prayer. So Jesus does want to answer our prayers, but it needs to be according to the will of God. But there is also one other condition within this passage placed on prayer in this first time that Jesus brings it up. And it isn't stated directly in this passage, but it is inferred when Jesus says, "This I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So the condition is this: will the answer to our prayer bring glory to God? Lord, I want $1 million. I'll give it to the poor. I'll give half of it or a quarter of it. Well, if God knew, it'd be for his glory. And if he knew it was for his will and his glory, he would give you $1 million. But is it for his glory? Or if you ask for something that will satisfy your own fleshly desires, will God give it to you? No, it must be for the glory of God and his purpose. So, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In my authority and power, my will, and for the glory of God. But I want to say something kind of bold here today. Let me say this. In one way or another, God will always answer your prayers. Oh, Reed, come on. You know, I asked him for that job, but I didn't get it. Or I asked I could get in that college or university, but it didn't happen. Or I asked that God would stop my father or someone I love from dying, and they died. So how can you say that God will answer our every prayer? Let me give you an example. As a father, Olivia and Kelton, they often approach me with a request. Now, I kind of hear it most of the time. There's times I'm busy and they'll have to repeat it, but I hear it and I will give them an answer. It normally comes down to mainly three answers. It's yes, it's no, or yes, but wait. If you're a parent, you really know that one. Yeah, but wait. They want it now. Do you think it is any different
with our perfect Heavenly Father.
He will always answer.
But maybe it's not the way we expect. He may say yes, and you ask for something, boom, it's done. Or he may say no, a job comes, a job goes, and if we believe in the sovereignty and the plan that God has for our life, that comes and goes is an answer no. But there's times that we don't know what God's will is. And it may be a wait, a yes, but wait. Maybe you've been praying for a loved one to be saved. Or maybe you've been praying about an inner area of struggle or temptation in your life. Do we give up because God doesn't answer it immediately? Maybe it's yes, but wait. I have things to do in your life before I answer that. Or do we continue to pray with a passion, believing he hears us and that he will do what's best for us? Jesus wants to answer our request. So the first time that Jesus brings up prayer. The second is John 15:7. John 15:7. Where Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. In this passage, we see another condition on prayer. We see another condition on prayer. As Christians, we are to abide in Christ. And as a Christian, we are to abide in his word. What do I mean by abide? In this passage in John 15, which we will get to in the weeks coming up, Jesus uses this picture, and this picture is this. He illustrates a relationship between a vine and its branches. The vine is the life source of the branch. And because of the vine, the branch is nourished and can produce fruit. And so when we come to the Christian life as a believer in Jesus Christ, our primary focus needs to be to be in Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus needs to be our primary focus of our entire life, because everything flows from the life we have in Christ. Everything. All fruit comes from our walk with Christ. Abiding in Christ. How do we abide in Christ? We spend time with Jesus. Prayer is one of the ways. Talking to him. Taking a walk with him. Sharing our deep pains and frustrations with him. Because remember, prayer is not all about asking. Prayer builds intimacy with Jesus. So if we don't pray, we won't grow in our intimacy with Jesus Christ. And not only are we to abide in Christ and our relationship with him, but we are to know Jesus' word. His words are to abide in us. You cannot grow as a Christian into maturity and into a strong Christian life unless you spend time in God's word. God's word does not, if by reading God's word, it doesn't save you. By praying doesn't save you. Jesus prays. It saves you, but God's word reveals who Jesus is and what God is like. It reveals to us how we are to live our life, what is right and wrong, what is pleasing to him. And if it's important in a friendship to know the person you have a relationship in the same way to know God's word is to be able to know him deeply and correctly and rightly. We are to read God's word. We are to read. How many of you, yes, it's Saturday, skipped breakfast, skipped lunch, skipped dinner? Anybody? Okay. Why? You had no urge to eat. Okay. Now, did you do it for 2 or 3 days? Okay, you do that.
Not very rare. It's not very healthy necessarily, but okay, you did, okay?
Most of us don't. Why not? We're normally hungry. Crystal wasn't hungry. For some, if they do that, it's very extremely unhealthy. Like good old Linda not eating. Unhealthy. Is it any different in our spiritual life? When we spend time with Jesus and we spend time in God's Word, it is our spiritual food and necessity. But if we don't, we become unhealthy and weak. So I'm saying, oh, Reed, I feel I need, I have to do. No, do it for your spiritual health. Do it because you want to know Him. One of the first prayers I say when I get up in the morning to pray, spend time with God, is, Lord, I want to know You for You. May that be our prayer. And if we continue to do this when we pray, we will begin to pray the things that are on God's heart and things that will bring glory to the Father, and then He will answer our prayer with an emphatic yes. And He'll begin to answer our prayers. Those are the two. The third time that Jesus brings up prayer is in John 15, 16, where Jesus says this, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give it to you." Do you realize today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you've surrendered to His Lordship, that He chose you? He chose you before you chose Him. He chose you. He picked you out of the crowd. He chose you as His child. And it is His desire for you to bear fruit and to live an abundant Christian life. And what is fruit? The fruit of the Spirit's what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He wants that to become part of your life. And if we abide in Christ, we will begin to bear this fruit that lasts. And as we grow in Christ, our confidence in Christ will grow so that whatever we ask, we know that He will give it to us. Are you abiding today? Are you bearing fruit? He chose you. You are to abide. You are to bear fruit that lasts. And as you walk in obedience to Him, one of the confidences we have in prayer is that He hears us and will answer us. But when we don't have that relationship with Him and we're out here in right field and we're doing our own thing and we kind of ask here and there and God doesn't do anything and we get discouraged, it's because we're not abiding, we're not listening, we're not allowing Him to transform us. And so we get discouraged when He wants us to come to Him. He wants to answer our prayer. He wants us to get close to Him. Our focus needs to be Him. It needs to be Him. And then the fourth place Jesus brings up prayer is John 16, 23 to 24. Listen to this. "In that day you will ask nothing of Me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be partially full." No, your joy will be full. He says here, "Until now, you've asked nothing in My name." At this time, Jesus was still with them, yet the day was coming for Him to leave. So Jesus is challenging them to ask the Father in His name. Ask and you will receive. But what I want to focus on in this passage is, what is the end result of prayer? Joy. Joy. What about you? Are you filled with joy? With prayer comes joy. Have you asked Him anything? Maybe you've been asking once or twice. Keep asking. Maybe He said yes, but wait. And if we wait patiently, when he answers our request, we will be filled with joy, joy that knowing the Father hears our prayers, joy knowing that he loves us and gives good gifts to his children. He wants to fill us with joy. You may be missing joy today because you don't pray. You don't ask persistently, consistently, gripping on and saying, I will not leave until you answer me. Yes, no, yes, wait. Joy can be found in and through prayer. Could you imagine if we walk these principles out? I don't know if I'd be able to get to my message after we have a sharing time. Oh, I have it! Oh, God did this! Oh, yeah, this happened in my life! Oh, yeah! But no, what happens? We coast along. And he wants more of our lives. He wants more of my life of prayer. And the last place that Jesus brings up prayer in John, in that last night with his disciples, is John 16, 26 to 27. Listen to this. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Do you know that we can have confidence in our prayers? Confidence that not only Jesus loves us, but the Father loves us. Sometimes we have this wrong theology. Sometimes we look at Jesus as the one who loves us, but the Father's the mean one that Jesus is trying to save us from. And yes, Jesus did come to save us from God's wrath. But because we believe and we love Jesus, the Father is in love with us. So what's awesome is when we come before the Father, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, we come and we have the Father and we have Jesus at the right hand, and they are on our side. They're for us, and they want to answer our prayers. Because the Father loves us as he loved his own Son. And that's a message in itself. Message in itself. They are both for us. If you have the worship team come forward. Five times he brings up the subject of prayer. Are you asking today? Are you filled with joy? Are you asking his name, asking for his will? Are you waiting for him to answer? Are you persistent? I want to give you one last challenge here. If you decide to start asking, all hell will break in your life. Because there's an enemy who's out there, and he doesn't want us to pray. You know, when we're worshiping today, it's easy to worship and you just feel the Spirit. I know I was worshiping today. Sometimes worship is this battle. It's fighting through to worship him how we feel or not. There's times it flows freely, but other times it's a choice. The same thing in prayer. It's a battle. If you go into it, oh, I only pray when I feel good or I'm excited about it, you won't pray. If you choose, I will pray, and I will pray, God, teach me to pray. Teach me to ask. And we go into that spiritual battle. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you're able. He will strengthen you. It's like working out. You work out, right? You haven't done it for a while. Oh, it hurts. And I've told that the kids at the Youth Detention Center, Colorado Springs. So if you work out, is it easy at first? Oh, no. Man, you're hurting and you're sore and it hurts. But if you fight through it, what happens? It becomes easier. I ask as we worship. And as we're worshiping, we're going to hand out the elements. If you have the elders come forward. Is there something you want to ask of God today?
there something that you want to bring to Him? Is there a commitment in your heart that you'll say, I want to ask, Lord, teach me to pray? Maybe that's the request that you will ask Him before we remember His body and His blood that was shed for us. He did that so we can ask with confidence. This morning I ask, will you make a commitment to ask? Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to be consistent. Lord, teach me, help me. Will you make that your prayer? Because it's all through the body and blood of Jesus that we can even have that confidence in prayer. Will you make that commitment today? Or maybe there's something that you've asked Him for. Or maybe you've asked but you've given up. Today I ask you, will you begin to ask and ask and ask until He says no or yes and wait? Will you do that today? Will you do that today?